Nice to see you each one here this beautiful day. See several new faces. Nice to have you here. This is the Forgive to Live seminar. Last week we learned that life was not fair. Do you remember the last time on this planet that life was fair? When was it? Back in the Garden of Eden. When God said it was good, good, and very good, then we know that everything was fair. Since then, what's been happening? Since then, the fairness has been going downhill, all starting with a little story on this earth. How did it go? Think of the first grievance that happened on this planet. That's the conversation that occurred. That's right. Remember... Eve was out wandering, spotted a good-looking tree, and then a good-looking snake and some good-looking fruit, and was tempted to the point where she succumbed, shall we say, to the temptation. Can you just imagine the thoughts that went through God's mind at that? You know, must have been very sad, very uncomfortable time in heaven when that happened. And so Eve saw the food, the tree was good, and it was pleasant to the eyes and so forth. And so they ate the fruit, and suddenly what happened? They suddenly found themselves without clothing. And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid. God said to him, first words after this sin was what? Where are you? That's got to be a significant part of this grievance. God was looking for Adam and Eve. Adam said, I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. God said to him, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree that I commanded you not to eat? And then the blame game started. Yes, it was the woman who you gave to me. She gave me of the tree, and I ate. Right at the end of the sentence, and I ate. Then the Lord said to the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent tricked me, so I ate. The Lord said to the serpent, and now's when the cursing comes. Serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed above every cattle, above every beast. On the dust you shall go the rest of your days. So that's really the story on this planet of the first grievance. Today we're going to talk a little bit about the grievance story in your life. And that's really why you're here. But let's bow our heads first. We do thank you, Father, for the documentation of those first few interactions there in the garden. They help us to know what life was really intended for here on this planet, and now thousands of years later, what it has become. Help us as we review the things that make us sad. Help us to understand that you've set up a way of forgiveness right there in the garden, and ever since then, you've been trying to show us the pathway of forgiveness. Help us to take into our lives that which is intended for our good. For we ask these things, Father, in Christ's name. Amen. We ran out of the house before we picked up a few key things, so we're improvising a little bit today. How forgiveness can save your life. It's good to have you here. Today we'll be discussing your grievance story. talking here. And depending on how much you wish to share in your group, it might be that you'll want to share something that's happened to you in the past that has been a significant event. And we hope that you're welcome to do that. Recall that the things that we discuss here really need to stay right here, stay within our groups. We don't want to be out publishing somebody's story that is already struggling with something. Being careful to guard each other's own personal story. So your grievance story. Today our goals are going to be, first of all, to identify what has been hurtful or is now a grievance for you. Then we're going to learn, there are three key points here, really. Learn the story, then we're going to learn any potential distortions about your story. And third, learn to change your thoughts to reduce your anger about those memories, okay? Learn to identify your story, identify the potential distortions in your story, and learn how to change your thoughts so you can reduce anger about the memories that you have regarding that event. You see, most of us see our memories as a passive event. That is, we seem to be recipients of whatever tends to flow into our mind. Have you ever noticed that? It seems like you seem to be a recipient of events or memories, I should say, that just click into your mind, and that you tend not to have any control over that. That's what we, many of us, think. We think that they spontaneously appear in our mind, and we cannot either get them out or can't control them. Another way of saying that, we don't know how to control our thoughts, or we simply cannot control our thoughts. A cornerstone of this class is this: you do not have to continue what you are currently thinking about. Okay? To concentrate on not thinking about something is to what? Keep thinking about it. Okay? There's a class that's taught called I Choose Not to Smoke. What's the name of that? Breathe Free. Okay? And this is part of their strategy. And they show a film in that class, the name of which I forgot. But it talks about somebody who in the deciding game, somebody was up to bat, and there's a famous pitcher on the mound, and the coach went out to the pitcher, and he said to him, "Whatever you do, don't throw high and outside." And like the bases were loaded or something, I forget the whole story. So the guy he related later, he said, "As hard as I could, I tried not to think about throwing high and outside." Well, when he delivered the pitch, where did he suppose it was? That's right. And the result was a baseball game that was decided in favor of the other team, the whole series, just because of the way he reacted to his coach telling him that. So picture in your mind today, Cheryl, would you come up and help me with this, please? Picture in your mind today a lemon. Now, some of you have seen this demonstration before. And Cheryl's going to cut up this lemon for us here. You all know what a lemon is. It's a citrus fruit grown in a state a lot sunnier than this one is. And this is a little bit of an anemic lemon, shall we say. You can imagine what it tastes like. Right now, your thoughts and maybe even your taste buds are kind of tasting that. Juicy as it is. Okay. Now, stop thinking about the lemon. Okay. It's hard to do, isn't it? The harder you think about it, the more you do think about it, okay? Some of you that know the story of the red-faced monkey. Similar kind of a story. Okay? Now start thinking about an apple. Remember to persist in not thinking about something is to continue thinking about it. Okay? Here's a delicious apple. I don't know if it's a delicious type, but it's tasty, and it's delicious in that regard. Crisp and juicy. Delicious to eat. The kids would like a piece right there. What's happened to the lemon? What's happened to the lemon? Are you still thinking about the lemon? It's hard to think about something like a lemon when you have an apple being cut up in front of you. Okay? That's a distraction. Okay, but in this case, a worthwhile distraction, and it serves as a good example. Thank you. So the thoughts about the lemon, aside from the fact that it was covered up, also went toward, at least to the back of your mind, okay? I was trying to think of different ways to distract you from thinking about a lemon. And then I thought of the maple trees. We used to live in Ohio. There was maple trees that they would harvest sap, I guess they would call it. Is it sap? Make syrup out of it. Yeah. And have you ever seen one of those places make? It's just a fantastic process. And that, if you ever had that in your mind, if you've seen that, that would definitely get you at the far end of the spectrum as compared to the lemon. The sweetness of the syrup that comes out and so forth. To persist in not thinking about something is to continue to think about it. Now, understand this. If you're always going to think about what you've always thought about, guess what? You'll always continue to feel the way that you've been feeling. Okay? There's no other way around it. It's not explained any easier than that. If you always think about what you've been always thinking about, then you will always feel what you have always felt. And that's especially true about a grievance story. Perhaps you've heard someone share a story. Maybe it's been their grievance story. Maybe it's been another story that is so powerful and so raw, shall we say, it compels you to do something about it right now. Have you had that experience happen? Somebody tells you something that is so powerful of an experience, and then you learn that this experience happened 20 years ago. Has that happened to you? Used to have a fellow whose wife divorced him. This was probably 20 years ago now. Every single time he would come in the office, some of you know who this fellow is, actually, or was. Every time he'd come in the office, he would start over at point A and go all the way through his story. And I mean to tell you, it was just like it happened the day before. I mean, even though I'd heard the story a lot of times, it was made so real to me by the way that he told it. And, of course, he'd kind of probably rehearsed it, you know. And and it was very... very livid, shall we say, to him. So feelings from the past can become so real that they can feel like the historical event happened all over again just a few moments, hours, or days before it is told. So we have to understand that the past in our lives lives in one place. Where is it? It's in the past, and that's a memory, isn't it? It lives in the past. It does not occupy the present unless we allow it to, or the future for that matter. When we get angry about these episodes or an event or a fear or a grievance, when we get angry about that, it's not the anger itself that is stored in our minds, but rather the event. Okay? The memory of the event itself is stored there. When a past experience is recalled from that memory, then the anger is applied again. Okay? So the memory itself is stored in our mind and is not associated with emotion, But as soon as we recall it, then it becomes a situation where we have anger applied to it. Well, we need to think differently about this, okay? Human beings have something called selective memory. Okay, now you've identified this already. You've understood this. And could you give me an example of selective memory?
Well, when a mother gives birth to her child, she doesn't forever remember.
Okay.
She remembers it was painful, but she can't feel it.
Okay, that's a very good example. Very good example of something painful that was hurtful. And now either there's such a big distraction, that is, the new child and the whole embodiment of the birth and having a new child, that it's such a wonderful event that the painful part is tucked away to the background. Well, we know that we don't remember everything that has ever happened to us. We select certain things out to remember. And that is at the crux of the problem with grievances, okay? Guess what? We don't remember the best stuff in life, okay? We know that we do remember a lot of good things about life, but we also choose at times to remember those things that are very negative, don't we? Emotional reactions about the event itself can even at times be stronger than it was at the time of the event, okay? Whether that's because we had time to think about it or because we have rolled it through our mind enough times and have been determined to be upset about it, we remember the negative five times more powerfully than the positive. Okay, so that sticks in our mind. And I think you probably can each one identify with this. It's happened to every one of us. We remember those negative things that have happened, and they pop up. Those are the things that pop up and make us angry. We think about them, and then we get angry. Think about those memories and become angry. You see, we select the information that reinforces our beliefs. And so if we've been convinced that somebody's done something wrong, we'll tend to remember those things that were done wrong in that situation toward us to reinforce what we believe about that. And then we may ignore other evidence that doesn't support what we think about that situation. Have you had this experience? Are you willing to admit you've had this experience, I should say? We can all remember somebody that, or a situation that happened that wasn't very good. And as the years went by, or as the weeks went by, whatever, it got worse. And then somebody came along and shared a new insight with us that made it a completely different story. In fact, it didn't make it near as bad as it was. Have you had that experience? Have you had the experience where, in fact, it worked out to your benefit that it wasn't as bad? And it actually worked to your benefit because it didn't work out that way. So in effect, working through this little equation here, we choose our own memories. Have to realize that we choose our own memories, and that is exactly how a grievance story is born. Okay? It's because of the memories that we choose. Now, not to say that something bad wasn't done, but our reaction, remember we learned last week, our reaction is our grievance story. I end up placing all of the blame upon the offender to fit my own emotional needs. Remember last week talked about intent versus impact. Were you sleeping during that time? Intent versus impact. You see, I need to have the other person, I need to have Jim change for me to feel better about myself. Okay? Jim's done something wrong to me. I'm putting all the blame on him. It was all his fault. Okay? He knows it. I know it. I need him to change for me to feel better about myself. Remember last week we went through a little sequence of statements, and we ended up at the point where Jim is responsible for my life and how bad I feel. Remember, we walked through those little steps? It's all Jim's fault. I'm sorry, Jim, you're on the front row. So I focus on my inability to change him, and then I get frustrated by my lack of success. Like, I'm supposed to be able to control him, okay? So I get frustrated because I'm not able to change Jim, not realizing that Jim has his own set of ways of doing things. Now, the person who has offended you is responsible for their own actions, no doubt about that. But they are never responsible for how I feel about what happened. Okay? It's sometimes hard to get those two confused. We need to keep them separate. I must understand that no matter what has happened in the past, I am responsible for what is happening right now. Okay? And for in the future. Remember, the grievance is something that lives in our memory. Okay? Have you ever thought about what happens when you carry a grudge? Is there anybody here who's never carried a grudge? You know, this week I asked somebody what their grievance story was, and they told me they didn't have one. Now that's a pretty unusual person who doesn't have a grievance story, wouldn't you say? Have you ever thought about the amount of energy it takes to carry a grudge? You've all experienced this, and I'm sure it's crossed your mind about how much energy. You know, we tend to minimize the amount of energy that we expend while carrying the grudge. Actually, at one point or another, I'm sure we've all had this happen, it consumes our lives, doesn't it? We become very bitter. Last week we learned that bitterness is what? A cup of poison that we drink, hoping our enemy will die. Okay? And grievances can turn to bitterness pretty quickly. And they become all-consuming. And then it depletes all the energy that you need to have to do the other things that you need to do or that you wish to do. Okay, usually more important things, okay? Now, the word resentment, comes from a French word, and that French word means to feel again. Okay, so when we resent, we're actually feeling all over again that grievance or that the pain from the grievance. So we feel the past over and over again, and over and over again, and over and over and over and over and over and over again. Just on and on it goes. So we would rather put our energy to good use rather than to waste it in an unwise sort of a way. Grievance stories are, in effect, you know, it's an interesting scenario to be in a group of people who understand that a grievance has occupied more in their life than they wish it to. Do you understand what I'm saying? And we've all been there. I don't know of any human being that hasn't been there, really. Everybody's had hurt that is more magnified in their life than what it really should be. Okay? It controls us. It manipulates us. I mean, many times we see this happen. Grievance stories are, in effect, a story of my own helplessness while being portrayed as a victim of circumstance and my inability to cope with it. Okay? We learned last week that we really can't judge the motive or the intent of the person who's, quotes, done us wrong. Okay? So a key point, and we've alluded to this if we haven't said it outright to this point, you must take responsibility for and control of yourself. Okay? You set yourself free when you forgive the one who has harmed you. Okay, so then how do you set about to do that? In order to change our lives in regards to our grievance story, we must be willing to change our grievance story. Okay? We must be able to look at it differently. We must be able to reshape that story in some way in order to change our life. Now, here's six little steps learning how to change a memory. Now, I suppose you could apply this to any memory, but specifically this is having to do with a grievance story here. Focus, here's number one. Focus upon what is true from both points of view. Now, if something has happened to you fairly recently, I guess you could apply this either way. I was thinking if this has happened something very recently to you, it may be more difficult to be objective. What do you think? Is it more difficult to be objective from a recent event or from a distant event?
Recent?
I would think so. At least I guess that's what would be more difficult for me. Maybe as time went on, you might be a little bit more objective, willing to admit that maybe there was another side to the story. What do you think? When something happens to you right away, we sort of tend to get our, hackles up, right? Okay. So review both sides of the picture as accurately as possible. Okay, number two, intentionally develop empathy for the one who has hurt you. Okay, not sympathy, but intentionally develop empathy for the one who has hurt you. That means you place yourself in their shoes. Okay, try to think about this as what they might. Okay, they're from their perspective. We studied this morning about context. Okay, think about the circumstances, the immediate circumstances about this event from both sides, and develop empathy for the one who has hurt you. Next, identify the wrongs that you have done and need to be forgiven for. Okay, identify the wrongs that you have done and need to be forgiven for. Can you feel that there's a little shift in responsibility going on here? Okay. Starting to now think of a different way to look at this. Okay. Number four, now reframe your story so that it accurately reflects the bigger picture. Okay. Including all this, including the most accurate way you can tell both sides of the story, adding in some empathy, and adding in some wrongs that you may have done and need to be forgiven for. Then reframe the story so it reflects accurately the bigger picture. Imagine in your own mind your desired outcome of this situation. Visualize in your mind the way you really want it to be. Okay? And then make adjustments toward that end. Okay? And finally, realize that forgiveness takes place over time. Most of the time, forgiveness takes place over time, almost never occurring as an individual or a single event. Okay? For most of us, it takes time to roll some of these concepts through our mind. It takes a little time for us to get over some hurt or even perceived hurts. Okay? And thankfully, if you're a Bible student, you can see by reading the Bible that God is never in a hurry when He deals with mankind. Have you noticed that? We're thankful for that. Yes, we are. He's never in a hurry when He deals with mankind. And neither should we. Whether we're dealing with ourselves or with someone else, we want to give a break, don't we? We want to let somebody have the benefit of the doubt. Okay? So realize that forgiveness takes place over time, almost never occurring as an individual or a single event. Okay, any questions about anything that we've talked about so far? We're discussing this week chapter 2, Next week we have chapter 3, and I hope you're all reading ahead a little bit so we can be prepared for this. We're trying to let out by 5:30, so you have roughly an hour in your individual at your individual tables. We have some new students here. The new people here, just pick a table to go to. And thank you for coming, and I hope that your discussions go well in regards to chapter 2 out of the workbook.